We started our series last week, our new series called On the Edge. On the Edge. And, you know, it's kind of like standing on the edge of this platform. You know, if I stand too close to the edge, I'm about ready to fall off. You know, like if I fall off this edge, it's not that big of a deal. I think I could handle that drop. But emotionally, some of us are really close to the edge, aren't we? We're just like teetering on that edge, and we feel like at any moment we could fall over. And that's kind of the theme that we're talking about over the course of these next many weeks. And Brandon, our guest preacher, got us kicked off last week and talked about some of his issues and talked about depression and different people in the Bible that have struggled with that. And so today we're going to continue with that whole theme of the critical emotions and things that keep us close to the edge. And so today we're going to be looking at anxiety. And I want to share a little bit of my story with you today. So today's sermon is going to be about half testimony and half sermon. So just keep that in mind. So I want to share a little bit of my story. I'm 48 years old. So let's see, 17 years ago, I was 31. You know, when you're 31, you feel pretty invincible. That's the word I'm looking for. Invincible physically. You know, you like what can happen to you? You're 31. You're pretty good. Anyway, I remember I was sleeping. And all of a sudden, I just woke up, and my heart was pounding. I totally felt like I was having a heart attack or something like that. I was just like, boom, boom, boom. You know, I was like, I was scared. I was like, what is going on? Like, nothing like that had ever happened to me before. And I, like, woke Michelle up, and, you know, I'm, like, panicking and really seriously thought I was having a heart attack. We called the ambulance. That's totally embarrassing, but you know, they came out to our house and went downstairs, and they like did these checks on me, and you know, I was starting to calm down by that time, but they're basically like, you're fine, you know, everything looks good, like we're not sure what's going on, but you're good, so go back to sleep and don't bug us. No, they didn't say that. But it was really a terrifying experience for me. And so I went, they suggested I go to the doctor the next day. So I scheduled with my doctor the next day. And I went in, they did an EKG just to make sure that everything looked good in my heart. And the doctor came back, yeah, everything looks good. And he basically sat me down and he said, I think what you experienced last night was a panic attack, you know, anxiety. I'm like, you're kidding me. And he's like, what you don't realize is that it's very common for men your age or getting into that age in their 30s and 40s to experience these kinds of things. And it often happens in the middle of the night. And I was like, wow, like this was a whole new world opening up for me. And he's like, basically, there's three things that you can do about it. You know, three things that we assign to people. You can either take medication, which I was like, you know, I don't want to do that. Like, are you crazy? Like, medication? And then he's like, or you can, you know, sometimes exercise really helps, like regular exercise. I'm like, okay, that sounds a little better. Or he goes, you can go to talk therapy. I'm like, talk therapy? Like, what is that? Like, counseling. So anyway, I chose the exercise route. I was like, okay, that's actually when I started getting back into running. I was used to run as a kid, you know, in high school, middle school, and stuff like that. Kind of got out of it in my college and years and in the 20s, my 20s. And then I picked up running again. It actually did help. But that scenario kept happening in my life for really many, many years. And I got to the point where, you know, I would wake up and I would again, like, oh, my goodness, what is going on with me? And Michelle finally learned to help me. She's like, David, you're not going to die. Everything's going to be okay. Calm down. They did give me some medicine that I could take at the moment. So I would take that medicine and, you know, 15 minutes later or so, I would be a lot more calm. And I just had to start realizing that my body, well, for one, I was a broken person. I was not, you know, super strong. I couldn't just handle anything that came my way. And But I remember that one of the feelings that I had during that time was, I don't feel like I'll ever be normal again. I don't feel like I'll ever completely feel normal again, because once that started happening, it was like, then I was never sure exactly when it was going to go off. I was never sure, like, is tonight, am I going to make it all the way through the night, or am I going to wake up? And so then you start worrying about those things. And a lot of you can identify with me, and maybe it's not anxiety for you, maybe it's something else that, and you start to feel like you're just this broken person, and something is wrong with me, and I'm not normal. And that is, well, for one, there's somewhat of a good feeling or a good thing about that. Because I think it's a way that God speaks to us, and he says, no, you're not perfect. You're not invincible. You have issues. We have a broken human body. This world that we live in is a broken world, and we need to remember that. We need to keep that in our minds. And so I realized that I had an anxiety problem. At first, I was really embarrassed about it. Like, I didn't want to tell people. I didn't want to tell people at my work. What would they think of me? You know, here I'm supposed to be the director of Open Door Ministries. I got serious problems. And then after a while, I realized, okay, that's silly, David. You need to talk to people. You need help. You need people to pray for you. And you shouldn't be embarrassed of this. You shouldn't be ashamed. And so I realized, and I started talking to people and sharing that I had anxiety. And so today we're going to talk about anxiety. And, you know, there's normal anxiety. And this is the feelings that all of us get from time to time, that, you know, maybe if you're going to a job interview, or you're meeting, you know, your girlfriend's family or something for the first time, or you're about to take a test, or maybe you're about ready to have a baby. I mean, if you're having those things, you're starting your first day of work, those are normal times to have anxiety. Sometimes that anxiety is actually helpful. It kind of gives us that little extra energy, that little extra quickening in our reflexes that focuses our attention, that we're able to make it through that situation. That's normal anxiety. That all of us struggle with that. All of us face that. And, you know, the Bible speaks to that a lot. It talks about worrying. It talks about, and we're going to look at some of those verses in a little bit. But then there's this disorder, anxiety disorder. And really, I'm not just, you may be like, well, hey, I don't have to listen to this sermon. I don't have anxiety disorder, and that's great. But you may know somebody who does. You may not even realize. You probably know a lot of people that do, because there's different levels of this. Some people have pretty severe anxiety. Others have very mild cases of anxiety disorder. But all of us struggle with anxiety to some extent. So I believe that this sermon really applies to all of us. But those that really have the mental illness of anxiety, it's basically when those feelings of anxiety, that the normal feelings of anxiety, don't go away. They're extreme for the situation, and you can't seem to control them. So they're quite intense, you know, very intense feelings. Sometimes they last for weeks or months, and they can keep us down for many years even. They can negatively affect our thoughts, our behavior, our general health can go down because of this kind of anxiety. And it can leave us feeling distressed and not enjoying our lives. I remember some of those feelings, like I said, like, you know, I can hardly even enjoy my life because when is this next attack going to happen? It can cause physical symptoms, like I mentioned. Like for me, it was like a lot of physical symptoms, pounding heart, stomach cramps, you know, deadness in my arms, different things. And so there's different kinds of anxiety. I'm not here to like teach a class on anxiety, but I do want to share a couple of these. And this is, one is just generalized anxiety disorder. And this is where people just struggle with kind of worrying and anxiety, but in a severe way, and it lasts for a long period of time. It's not necessarily about one specific thing, but it's just a general fear, a general anxiety. And then there's phobias that are around specific issues. Like some people, like agoraphobia is a common one you hear about, the fear of open places. And some people just can't go outside. They can't be in those kind of places because they have this phobia. And then there's OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. That's actually a type of anxiety disorder. And we joke a lot, oh, I'm OCD or this, but we're probably not really when we joke about that. But there are people that they really struggle with being obsessive about, you know, touching things or washing everything, or you know, germs, different things like that. And then there's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That is also an anxiety disorder. And this one is brought on by a trauma. And this one's pretty common, I think, in our society, because we have a lot of traumatic things happening. And we've talked about this a lot as a staff, because this neighborhood has so much trauma going on in it all the time, in families. Just the other day, Dean was here at the church, and there were like 20 cop cars lined up out here on what was on Knox Street and or on Louisiana, like crazy, you know, stuff going on. Dean like came out to like, what's going on? The police were like, get back in the church. He's like, yes, sir. Anyway, but I mean, traumatic situations like that where police are involved, or, you know, obviously people when they come back from war, or from battle, they often struggle with PTSD. But it's much, you know, people that get, you know, go through abuse or you know, some type of abuse, sexual abuse or something like that when they're young, can then develop this kind of PTSD anxiety disorder. And so that is something that we should be really aware of, especially as we know people that have gone through trauma. I mean, then the last one that I saw here is panic disorder. And this is the one where this is more of what I was experiencing and what I still experience sometimes. But these are just intense feelings of anxiety that come along with the physical symptoms. And you feel like you're in great danger. You feel like you're going to die. The heart pounding, the nausea, sweating, feeling faint, all of these types of things. And I've felt all of those things. It's really crazy. So like I was saying, this kept happening to me over a several year period. Like I said, Michelle would have to, you know, wake up with me, sit with me, you know, convince me, David, just take the medication. I'm a little stubborn that way. I don't like taking medication. Anybody else like me out there, you just don't like taking medication. It is so frustrating. Even I don't even like taking pain medication for, you know, a headache or something. But, you know, maybe it reminds me too much of my brokenness. And it's good, though, that I need to be reminded of that. Finally, I did go to a counselor. There was actually somebody from a church that was close to me. I went to see him, and it was really good because I was able to talk about it. I was able to share what I was experiencing. And one of the best things about it is he was able to just tell me how normal it was. He was able to just explain to me, it's okay. Like, a lot of people struggle with this. You know, these are the kind of things we don't talk about a lot. You know, you don't talk about it to your friends that much, or especially guys, you know, we just don't talk. Maybe the women talk about more of that kind of stuff. But us men, we don't talk about it. We just kind of like, well, I'll deal with myself. You know, I'm not going to let anybody know about it. But he was able to help me realize. And one thing he said to me, it was kind of a funny question. He was like, so when you're having these panic attacks, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'm like, well, I could die. And he's like, yeah, well, that's what's so bad about that? You know, then what happens? You go to heaven. I'm like, okay, thank you. That's helpful. Anyway, so, but it actually was kind of helpful because, you know, when you're a Christian and when you have the Lord, and he was kind of telling me that because he knew that I wasn't going to die anyway. He was just kind of helping me realize, because sometimes when we're having these experiences in our bodies, the mind, you know, plays tricks on us, and we have to kind of defeat it in our mind. And so the preaching idea today is that anxiety is both a spiritual problem and or a mental health problem. And I want to explain that a little bit. Like I said at the beginning, some of us, or all of us, struggle with anxiety, and that is a spiritual problem. But others of us struggle with it as a mental health illness. And one of the things that, like, I felt this way, like, why do I struggle with this? I should be better than this. I should be able to trust the Lord more and just kind of will myself out of this as a believer. It's not a spiritual maturity issue. People that are very spiritually mature struggle with things like depression, things like anxiety, some of these mental illnesses. And that's one thing that we have to remember, because we can start beating ourselves up. Well, if I was just more spiritual, if I prayed more, if I read my Bible more, you know, when I was having those moments, trust me, I was praying a lot. Like that was pretty much it. Like I was just praying. So it wasn't a spiritual maturity issue. It was that I had a brokenness about me that I needed to deal with. And so anxiety is both a spiritual problem, but it's also a mental illness problem. Now, if you have the anxiety disorder, it doesn't mean that spiritual stuff can't help you. It's just probably not the complete solution. Like, there were a lot of things that I needed to deal with spiritually, but I also needed some of those other things as well. So I want to look at some of these verses that were a big help to me throughout this time, because really for the last 17 years, I've never like recovered from this. I've never like gotten better, like, oh, this is not a problem anymore. And who knows, maybe at some point in my life, it will cease to be a problem. But during this, you know, while I'm doing the counseling, I'm doing the medication, I'm still running, I have also learned to rely on the Lord and to come to Him, because there is power in that. And so I wanted to share a few verses that have meant a lot to me. And the first one is Psalm 46:10. And this one particularly, maybe of all of them, this has been the most comforting. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Whether you're struggling with just normal worry, normal anxiety or not, this is such a great verse for us. Just when God tells us, be still. It is so hard to just slow down. I know in this busy life, America is a fast-paced society, isn't it? And we live in a big city of Denver of 3 million people and traffic and all of this stuff. I mean, I grew up in a little small town where there was cornfields and everything. Like, that's not this city. This is a fast-paced city. We live fast-paced lives. Rent is high. We have to work hard. Some of you probably have 2-3 jobs. And sometimes God just says, be still. That's one thing I love about our prayer meetings. We have a prayer meeting every third Sunday of the month. Third Wednesday of the month, and we had it this last Wednesday. And I love those times because it's just a great time to just be still before the Lord and to remember that He is God. He is in control of everything. I'm not God. I'm not in control. I'm out of control a lot of times, but He steps in and takes care of me when I just calm myself. And I love it. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's perspective, you know, our perspective is usually just, well, my life, my family, maybe our church or my business. God's perspective is the world, the earth. He is concerned about all the people that He has made. And yet, He's not worried. He's not anxious, because He's amazing. We're broken, but He's not. We can always go to Him. The next one is 1 Peter 5:7. This is one that I learned when I was just a kid. I learned it the old King James way, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. The new NIV says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And that is just such a good thing to remember, whether you're, whatever kind of anxiety you're going through, cast your cares on Him. And He is so able. He cares for us. He loves us so much. It's been such a verse of comfort for me. And then Philippians 4, 4 through 9. And this one, I'll read a few of these verses. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." So Paul was in prison when he was writing these words. I'm sure he could have been extremely anxious, extremely worried about his life. He could have been killed. In fact, eventually he was killed for what he was preaching. But he says, rejoice always. And then in verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Come on, Paul. I mean, let's be honest. Nothing? Apparently. That's what God's message for us is. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, in every single situation, by prayer and petition, in other words, through praying with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes that peace that passes all understanding is elusive, isn't it? I know for me this week, I was telling the pastors on Friday and this morning as we were praying for the sermon or the service, that this has been one of the most anxious weeks for me, and it just for a variety of things that have been going on in my life. And that peace that passes all understanding was an elusive thing for me this week. And this morning, actually, when I got up, I just got on my knees beside my bed, and I was just kind of reviewing some of these verses. And anyway, finally, I felt like that peace was able to just flow over me. And so sometimes you just have to seek it. You just have to keep seeking that peace. Keep seeking God for that. And I believe he will give it to us as we seek him. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So what we fill our mind with, what we fill our heads with, will dictate the level of peace that we have in our lives. And so Paul encourages us to think on the true things, noble things, right things, pure things. He gives us this whole list of these beautiful words. And it is true, when we are focused on evil and we're putting all that bad input into our lives, into our minds, we get, you know, garbage in, garbage out. It is so true. And we need to be processing the Word of God in our lives. We need to be allowing the Word of God and spiritual songs and different things to flow into our minds and our lives so that that peace will flow out of our lives as well. So for normal anxiety that we all face, faith is the antidote. Faith in God, trust in God, that he is in control, that he has our back. And then choosing to fix our minds on him. That is the antidote for normal anxiety that we all struggle with. And it's a piece. It's a piece of the antidote for those of us who struggle with anxiety in a mental health or disorder way. But it's not necessarily the entire piece. The staff had the opportunity this Friday to hear from Francisca, one of our members who's a counselor, and she's finishing up her degree in that. And she had just some really wise words for us. And so I'm calling this wise words from an expert. So, you know, thank you, Francisca. So I'm going to share a few of the things that she said. But we have to balance the spiritual and the physical sides of anxiety. It takes both sides working together. Sometimes we over-spiritualize things. Sometimes we don't spiritualize it enough. We don't take that side of it. And we have to balance those two things. Even kids can struggle with anxiety or depression. Sometimes we don't really think about that, but especially kids that have gone through traumatic events in their life, they can struggle. We need to keep our minds on that as well when we're thinking about our kids. Genetics plays a big part in this. In fact, that's a big part for me. What I've realized is that my two sisters struggle with the same thing that I do. In fact, I was talking to my oldest sister one time, and literally some of the same exact symptoms that she struggles with is what I struggle with. It's uncanny. The two of us were able to just really connect on that, and that was a real comfort to me, just knowing that. And it's like, hey, this is part of the genetics of what it means to be a Warren. In some cases, I feel sorry for my kids. But anyway, they have some of Michelle's genes, so hopefully they'll be okay. But genetics plays a big part in some of these issues like depression, anxiety, and different things like that. Mental illness can be either really severe or it can be fairly mild. You could have a fairly mild case. And sometimes when we have a mild case, we kind of make excuses for it and we don't really take it seriously and get the help that we need, when really we probably still should, because it can get worse over time. Or it can just be a really horrible thing in our life that is really annoying, but we don't get the help that we need for it. And one thing she said, and I already said this, but is that it doesn't have to do with our spiritual maturity, which is often what we think. The brain, she shared, the brain is a physical organ, and it can get sick and not have the right balance. You know, it cannot have the right chemical balance, and we have to remember that. You know, the brain is part of our physical body, and we need to take care of it. And sometimes it gets sick, too. So, a lot of these amazing things. And one of the things that we want to encourage people is, I mean, obviously the pastors, we're not experts in this area. I'm sharing with things with you either from my experience, things I've read, or things other people have shared with me. But there are experts out there that can help. And if you're dealing with way more than the normal anxiety issues, we want to encourage you to, I mean, if you come to one of us pastors, we can help you get connected with somebody, or maybe you know somebody that you could go to. And I think, Francisca would be a great person, but she can't, like, see everybody, so there's other people, too. The worship team can go ahead and come back for it. I just want to share the next phase of my story with you, so as I close up. So like I shared, this problem kind of went on for me for a long time, and I learned more about it. But one thing that I realized with it is that it kept taking new forms. Like, once I would figure out, like, okay, the heart pounding, that is what happens to me, then it would switch itself. It was like a little sneaky thing. It would, like, go to, like, okay, now I can't feel my hands. It's like, what do you mean I can't feel my hands? Like, okay, well, that's just what the anxiety. And then it would turn into, now I feel like my throat's closing. Like, okay, I don't like this particular feeling. Like, I feel like my throat is closing. Like, that could be bad. Like, you know. And then it started happening during the daytime. So it would start happening when I was meeting with people at work. I remember one time I was having just a meeting at the family room downtown, and all of a sudden it just came on me, like, really quickly. And I felt like my throat was closing. I went, like, excused myself and, like, got a drink, and then I came back and I was trying my best to, like, concentrate on what he was trying to say and not show that I'm, like, having a serious problem right here. But it was just too much, and I finally just leveled with him. I was like, hey, I am not doing well. I think I need to go to the doctor. It was, like, so embarrassing. And thankfully, he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time. He's like, well, hey, I'll go with you. So he, like, took me to the doctor, and, like, he stayed there. It was so embarrassing. But anyway, I share this partly because I want you to know, like, the normal human emotions that come as you're dealing with this. And then it actually switched again. So the throat thing, I kind of got used to that. And then it switched to I felt like I was going to pass out. And so I would be meeting with people, and I kid you not, I like literally felt like I'm going to pass out at any moment. And it was just everything I could do to, you know, get over that feeling. It's like, I just got to get through this lunch. Like, I was not enjoying any of my meetings anymore. I was just like starting to dread when I would have to meet with somebody. And it never seemed to happen in my office. It would always happen when I was like out with somebody. And I don't know what it was, but it was just killing me. And, you know, so here it is, like 15 years of dealing with this. And, you know, one time, like, actually right before we started the church was one of the worst times of this for me. And it was like that Christmas season, the holiday season before, like an end of 2017 before we started the church. And I don't know if it was just kind of the general stress that was in my life that was kind of making it worse or what it was, but that was just a horrible Christmas season. And one time, one of my staff members had to take me to urgent care because I was convinced I was having a heart attack or a stroke or something. And another EKG, I probably had like 10 EKGs at this point. And like, they're always like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm like, okay, all right. I get it. So anyway, that February, I actually went out to lunch with somebody, actually with a group of people. And had an episode during lunch, ended up having to go to the emergency room, which that really got my attention because then I'm spending like a lot of money on it. So I remember Michelle finally sat me down and she was just like, David, please, will you just try some medication, like some regular daily medication? I don't know why I was so resistant to it. I mean, just like the stigma of it, you know, the stigma of having to do that, or just I should be better than this, I should be able to beat this. But I just couldn't, and I had to realize, finally, I gave in. I was like, all right, I'll try it. I'll try it for 3 months. So I went to the doctor. I got some medication, and I kid you not, within like 3 days, this is almost really amazing. Within 3 days, I felt a noticeable difference, and the last year and a half of my life has been so much better. Like, I have very rarely had an issue the last year and a half, and who knows, I'll probably have an issue this afternoon. But anyway, exactly. I share this with you because sometimes we just need to do what our spouses is telling us to do. Sometimes we just need to like listen to somebody that knows us. We get blinded by our own stuff. And God doesn't want us to live in that. He wants us to get through that. So whether it's just normal anxiety for you or whether it's something more, we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to be here for you as a church. We want to be here for our community. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you walk with us through this life. We are broken people, dear Lord. We are so broken. Lord, I wish I wasn't broken. I wish that I was stronger. But God, it reminds me that this life is just temporary, that sin has ruined everything about or so many things in this world, and that someday we're going to have a new body, that someday we're going to be perfect with you, Lord. I can't wait for that day, Father. I thank you for that. Give us all that hope, Lord. Give us all that remembrance.